Books of the Bible. Because God's people disobeyed, he sent them into exile. The book of Ezra tells us of Israel's return under Ezra's leadership and preaching, and how Israel underwent a period of intense reformation. When you experience divine chastisement, look to Ezra to see that God's discipline is meant for your restoration and reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't take it from me.
Didn't we do this already?
Don't take it from me. Take it from William Shatner.
Live life.
You're ready.
Live life like you're gonna die. Because you're gonna. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you're gonna die.
Indeed.
Maybe not today or even next year, but before you know it, you'll be saying, is this all there was? What was all the fuss? Why did I bother? Now, maybe you won't suffer, maybe it's quick, but you'll have time to think, why did I waste it? Why didn't I taste it? You'll have time. Because you're gonna die.
Are you ready for it? This is Wretched Radio, preparing to die. Not a popular subject, but it should be. Is there anything else that we share in common with everybody? No, these mega churches that are seeker sensitive, they're looking to scratch the itch. They want to find out, hey, what makes people tick so that we can put on a second-rate version of it and bury anything that is true and helpful in an effort to help them? Oh, is it financial tips? That's a really popular one with seeker-sensitive pastor. Parenting! We can give them parenting. Everybody needs help with a marriage. They need help with life hacks. We can help them with work productivity. How's about death? Everybody sitting in a congregation is going to die. We all share it. Why isn't there more preparation for it? Well, we, bucking the trend, and probably against all wisdom, would like to help us all prepare to die, because William Shatner's right, we're gonna. And the process of dying is not one that we should say yippee-skippy about, but when we do take our last breath, that'll be the best second of our lifetime. In a twinkling of an eye, you'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. You will be with your Savior. Sorry, I don't have, maybe I've got it somewhere in my stack. It was a Puritan who was preaching to a congregation who had lost somebody, and everybody was kind of sad about it. And the title of his sermon is, How Could You Be So Cruel? And you go, whoa, Puritan, how could you be so cruel? People are mourning there. Give them some space. Well, he was asking the question, how can you be so cruel, in consideration of what the beloved friend was experiencing currently in heaven? Would you be so cruel to take him away from Jesus? Would you be so cruel to want him back here and remove him from all of the pleasures that our God has prepared for those who love him? Would you be so cruel to want your loved one back when you know that for the first time they know what it means to be fully human and to live in light of the reality of God's love? Would you take them away from experiencing the height, the width, the depth, the breadth of the love of God in Christ? How could you be so cruel? Because when we die, it's going to be the best. Getting there might not be so fun. Listen for a theme. I have some quotes from Johnny Erickson Tada. You know where I got these quotes, Jimmy? AI. That's right. I'm an AI. Well, I did.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with using. It's just like a search engine on steroids. And they came up with these five quotes from Johnny Erickson Tada. You know that when she was a young girl, she dove into a lake, I believe. She broke her neck. And she's been in a wheelchair ever since. And she needs 24/7 care. And she's been at this for 50 years now. 50 years. Here's what she said. Even though I would have never chosen this path of suffering, I wouldn't trade the closeness I found with God for anything. Whoa. While my injury was unexpected and painful, the blessings and lessons I've received from it have been invaluable. I wouldn't trade them for anything. God has used my injuries in ways I never could have imagined. The blessings that have come from it have enriched my life in ways I could not have foreseen. The trials and challenges I face because of my injury have deepened my faith and relationship with God. Hear the refrain, I wouldn't trade that for anything. Though my injury brought much pain and hardship, the blessings that have emerged from it have been more than worth it. I wouldn't change a thing. Whew. Whew. That's top shelf Christianity right there. And I know, and you can ask her, she didn't feel that way initially. I don't know how many years, maybe how many decades it took her to get to this place. But you will hardly hear a woman sing Amazing Grace more sweetly than this woman, because she has allowed the Lord's sovereign will to produce the fruit that he desires when he ordains difficulties. He never does anything to his children. He only does things for his children. He is not punishing you for a sin. Now, your illness might be a consequence for your sin. That is a possibility. But you're never punished for your sins. Jesus was punished for your sins. Now you need to ask the question, why me, Lord? What would you like me to learn in this? Because you must, or you would not, provide this difficulty. You can say permit if you want. Let's just say ordain, so we don't have to get into the technicalities of theodicy. He's doing something. You need to know that. And if you've been diagnosed with something that's really scary and it's soon going to be the end, I can encourage you to look forward to that second when you're going to be with Jesus. It'll be a second unlike any other, and you're going to experience it for all of eternity. And you need to know, if the process is hard, he's in it. He's there. He's not responding. He's ordaining, because he wants to do something for you. A good thing. A thing that no other means would bring about. God doesn't delight in suffering. God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. We can't ever conclude that he must be happy that I have a terminal illness. Of course, death is a foe. It's a defeated foe. But it does not make God happy. Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the deaths of his beloved children. Precious. And you need to know that even as you start marching toward the end, he wants to do something for you and with you. Might you be able to witness to the nurses? Even to hospice care? The doctor who scratches his atheistic head and wonders, why, how can you be this way when you're so sick? How can you react this way? You almost seem to have joy in the midst of this. And look at the opportunity you have to point to Jesus' strength in your weakness. All we need to do is look around. It's all we need to do. And don't forget, this isn't just sickness. Right now, perhaps, you have a rotten child who is treating you so poorly. God's in it. I know that if you're in this, it can feel hard, which is why it's so much better to have two distinctives of God clear in your brain before the difficulties come, sovereignty and goodness. You need both of those things. You need a God who is all-powerful, but you need a God who is good. Otherwise, that power will be used malevolently, and that's terrifying. But he is both sovereign and powerful and good. And he's doing things for you with that prodigal child. Do you know why you have... Now, again, if you're in it, this is not an eye poke. So whatever your... Let me make it generic so you don't feel like I'm coming after you. Do you know why you have your difficulty right now? Because you need it. Or God wouldn't send it or permit it. Because he's good. And he never does anything to his children. He only does things for his children. Our good physician never gives a cup of poison to his beloved children, only that which will heal us or grow us in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There are so many things. He could be knocking pride right out of our hearts. You had three great kids, and then you've got the Tasmanian devil. Maybe it's God's way of saying, be a little more humble. Whatever it is, remember his sovereignty, remember his goodness, and you'll be able to march to that last second joyfully. This is Wretched Radio.
I'm so excited about this.
That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
As you know, we've been sharing with you some big changes that are coming very soon here to Gospel Partners Media. 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. These men that are joining our ministry will be creating compelling content that will speak truth into our darkening culture. I'm talking about men like Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Kratz, and others. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions, and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. And remember, while we would love to have your financial partnership, we cover your prayers even more. Wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I gotta tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, tells us that God is jealous.
Jealousy is an intense desire to protect one's own glory, honor, and name. Since God is perfect, it is only right for him to protect his own glory. Take comfort knowing that God will receive glory, and his glory is good for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, look at how prolific Jimmy is today. This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead, Jimmy. Share your segue.
I was just going to say everything you were just talking about suffering and getting sovereignty in order before you enter a season of suffering is talked about in Tim Challey's Seasons of Sorrow.
And that has what to do with anything?
He's going to be one of the new powerful voices joining.
Another opportunity to encourage you to please consider supporting us financially right now as we launch a massive initiative. It's our version of the Daily Wire, basically. We're assembling really bright minds, good thinkers, and communicators for podcasts and for books and for resources. I think Tim is going to be doing a resource. He's going to come into the studio, or he's doing a webinar, perhaps, and he's going to help those of us who are suffering, who have lost a loved one. How helpful will that be? Furthermore, he's going to be doing church book reviews. That will be helpful. He's going to be just one of our eight fellows. Right now, we have a $250,000 match campaign. So every dollar you give now is matched dollar for dollar. Would encourage you, if you can support us now, we would be so grateful. And please know, the launching of this initiative, it ain't the end. We got more goodies coming, but we just need partners. We do this together. We come here every day because of you. We don't do anything without you. So if you can, if you have the means, if you're already given to your local church, please consider being a gospel partner so that we can continue to reach more people and help more people. You can do that at wretched.org/donate, wretched.org/donate. Preparing to die. An article from, these glasses are disgusting. This is an article. Have you ever bought? You heard me. Have you ever purchased those wipes at the Costco?
I've got plenty in my office.
Yeah, if you went to Costco, you've got a crate of them. Have you ever gone through all of them while they were still moist?
No,
they always, I bought the 1,000-pack and I got like 980 left of these things. I could use one right now, I'll tell you that much. 33% of church members are older than 35. This is from Elizabeth, T-U-R-N-A-G-E. My apologies, Elizabeth. 33% of members in churches are older than 65. Who's there? Death! I'm coming because a lot of people in churches, the sand in their hourglass is more prolific on the bottom than it is on the top. And many congregations are not preparing their people to die. Now, I'm not talking about the spiritual. I'm talking about the practical. Now, I thought this was a really helpful article because perhaps you've seen it. Somebody dies and it's a mess for the family. They don't know what to do. They're just, you get this, I get that. Shut up! You hit me when I was 4! And on it goes. We can prepare for those things to at least minimize them. So here's some tips. First of all, of course, talk about death and dying. This should be a subject that we handle regularly because death is inevitable and our Savior came to conquer death. He died so we can live. The sting of death is gone. We can talk about this subject, but we get into more practical things. Offering resources, workshops, and courses on practical preparation. These are documents for those that you leave behind, or if you become incapacitated, don't leave that on your kids to sort. Do we intervene? Do we use this to sustain what appears to be life, but doesn't look like it's going to be for long? Help your kids. Make those decisions. Make those decisions for yourself. You'll bless them. Prepare a will, an advanced directive, a durable power of attorney, a clear record of your your footprint, your digital footprint. What are your passwords? These are just practical. Like, oh yeah, I guess I should put all that stuff down. Maybe you've been a manager at work. You want all of that information. When somebody leaves the organization, bingo. Write it down. You're leaving. And those left behind, that was not an eschatological sort of reference, but those left behind could use that. It saves some pain. Provide biblical guidance on arrangements for the body and funeral services. Your family's going to squabble if you don't. So how are you going to be buried? Said it before 100 times. I don't think it's a sin to get cremated. I think the better way for Christians is burial. It shows hope in the resurrection of the dead that we are going to have an eternal body. You're not sinning by getting cremated. I just think that the better word is spoken when we do burial, which is what we see all throughout the Bible. Cremation tended to be the practice of the pagans. I'm not saying you're a pagan if you know somebody who did or you're thinking about that for yourself. I'm just saying I think that there is a better word spoken with burial. Let your family know. What do you want the service to be? You can provide a Sunday school class, a yearly workshop, a pamphlet. Sound biblical guidance will help your church members leave clear instructions for their grieving loved ones. Number 6, I think. Help people to share a spiritual legacy. I love this idea. Love it. Why? Because it's a testimony, and I get verklempt over testimonies. How's about for the youth group, rather than shielding them from those old people, how's about bringing one in and sharing a testimony and saying, this is what it looks like. This is what you can anticipate. This is what you should be preparing for. Wow, do we need those models today? I'm telling you, the constant refrain that I hear from younger people is they just don't know how to do this. We've coined a term, I've got to do adulting. Yeah, because they're not being taught it. How's about if we have some senior saints sharing it? The psalmist Asaph called the Israelites to pass down the stories of their faith. Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. In the same way, why don't we have people sharing stories of perseverance, stories of redemption, stories of healed marriages, stories of the joy of being married for so. Was thinking about this. If I lost all of my friends, all of them, so I kind of reverse Job, like all of my friends, that would be really hard. That would be really hard. Hold on, I'll keep going. To lose one's parents, oof, that's hard. But losing my wife, I couldn't breathe. And you say, I can't even fathom that. But I'm here to tell you, it happens and it can happen and it can happen for you. Even if you're in a rotten marriage at the moment, it can be sweet. It can become that over the years. If you're young and you're putting off marriage because it's just terrifying to you, know the fruit that will be born from marriage. You will never be closer to anybody. You say, well, I'll be closer to my kids. Not if you're doing marriage right. Not if you're doing marriage God's way. When you become one, you're not one flesh with your kids. Your kids are at best half flesh. You've got a little DNA in there, but so does your spouse. You're one flesh, according to the Bible, with your wife. We need these testimonies. We need people to hear these things so that they can go, all right, hey, you mean so all those social media messages about marriage being a disaster aren't always true? That's right. From the article, a spiritual legacy can include stories, expertise, blessings, and wisdom. Workshops that help people record their spiritual legacy in the form of letters, lists, stories, or audio or video recordings. What a lovely way to bless your progeny for generations. We can also host events in which older people are interviewed and younger generations have the opportunity to hear how God has worked in their lives. Whoa. That's preparing for death. Another component of preparing for death is preparing for loved ones to die. How do you grieve? How do you go about doing that? How do you figure out how to mourn with hope? We should be teaching on these things because it's inevitable. And here's the great news. Our God knows that we need it. And guess what? He's so kind that he's provided it for us in the Bible and in the saints that surround us in the context of the local church. No, I don't believe that a local body should become mournful and always walking around in sackcloth and ashes and, well, we're going to talk about death again. No, that's depressing. But perhaps maybe we should be talking about death more. Because the reality is, everybody does have an innate fear of it. And Jesus wants us to be able to overcome it because he's defeated death and we don't need to face it in terror. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.